Been a missionary now in Mexico for about 8 years, and the Lord's been good to me all that time. The first 3.5 years I was in San Luis Potosí, worked there with several of the other brothers from the church. And the last 4.5, I've been working in Lagos de Moreno. It's a small town, and it's very needy of the gospel. We've preached in just about the whole city. There's very few streets that we haven't gone door to door or preaching on yet. And there's been a small church started there, and that was by the grace of God. And it's been a real blessing to me these last few weeks there by ourselves again. The Lord's been blessing and using the brethren there, growing them up and teaching them. And it's been a real encouragement to me to see them grow and to see them starting to participate and take over. And now I see my job a little different. The time now of training them, for them to do the job that I've been trying to do for the past 5 years. And I'm looking forward to training them guys up and to seeing the Lord use them. I'd like to share some things out of the Bible here with you, and I'd like to start with 1 Peter chapter 4. Something I've been thinking about. A lot of people think it's a great thing. It's a great, I don't know how to exactly express myself, but a great thing to leave everything behind and go to another country to serve God. I think it's something that's that makes you more or better than everybody else, but I got to thinking about it, and it's something that every single one of us ought to be willing to do.
Amen.
It says here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. Christ, He suffered for us.
Right.
He did a lot of things for us. I'd like to show you, or like for us to see a few of those things that He did for us. But He says to arm yourselves with the same mind. Think the same way He thought. Is it worth it? Oh yes, it's worth
Amen.
It. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Let's see a couple of the things here that He suffered. Matthew chapter 4, let's start with the first verse. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Brethren, right here we see clear as day that Jesus hungered. He suffered physical needs. He was hungry. And, you know, it would be okay, you know, if He was just a common beggar, you know. Sure, they all hunger. Times we go without food and we get hungry. But we're talking about the Creator of this earth. We're talking about God Himself. He didn't have to go hungry. He could have turned those rocks into bread and eaten. He didn't have to be hungry. But He did it. Why? For us. He wanted to prove a point, too. He wanted to prove that what God says is worth much more than the things of this earth.
Amen.
He did it for us, to give us an example, but to think on something like that. We're talking about the Creator of the universe, God Himself. He goes hungry, but why? And you're talking 40 days and 40 nights without eating. Why? For us. For us, He did it, to prove that He could go without sinning. He didn't sin. He got the victory over the sin. It says in Hebrews also, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Brethren, we're tempted in a lot of other things than just eating food. We're tempted in a lot of things. And He was tempted in the same things, yet without sin. But why did He go through all this temptation? Why did He put up with all this stuff? He didn't have to. He did it for us. Verse 16, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He did it. So we'd have the confidence to go to Him. Yeah, He understands. He knows what we're going through. Because He's gone through it too. He's gone through everything we go through. Why did He do it? He didn't have to. Again, we come to the same thing. He didn't have to. Being the Creator of the earth, He could have destroyed the devil. He could have had it easy. But He didn't do it. He suffered all those things for us. He suffered all those temptations. He let Himself be tempted for us so that we could come to Him now with boldness, knowing that He can feel for us. He knows what we're going through. 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Brethren, here we have it again. He was rich. He had everything. He gave it all up.
Amen.
Why? for us again. He did it for us. He was so rich. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. No one could tell him what to do. He gave it all up. Gave up all his riches, all his glory, and came here and lived a life of poverty for us. That we might be made rich.
Amen.
And yes, brethren, we've been made rich. We got eternal life now. We're children of God. We have eternal life. We have the blessing of God on us. He's made us rich. Philippians 2, verse 5 and 8, or 5 through 8. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Brethren, we find it again here. Let this mind be in you. Arm yourselves with this mind, the mind that was of Christ. Let this mind be in you, him. Man, we don't match anywhere close to the glory or the honor that he deserves. And he gave it all up. What's it for us to give it up?
Right.
Nothing. There's no comparison. He humbled himself. Him, being so great, he humbled himself to nothing. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to humble ourselves before people. We want people to look up to us. But if he did it, and him being so much greater than us, what is it for us to do?
Amen.
And he was obedient unto death. John 15, we see here about Christ himself, what he did for us on the cross. 15 verse 13, says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ laid down his life for us. He gave his life that we might have life. He was alive. He had everything, or he could have had it all, but he gave it all up for us. He gave up his own life. There's no thing on this earth that's worth more than your life. If you get sick in bed, everybody, they pay off every single penny they have for the doctors to heal them. The money's not worth nothing if you're about to die. What's got the value is your life. And he gave his life for us. So what would it be for us to give ours for him?
Amen.
Brethren, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And he laid down his life for us. And he calls us friends now. Chapter 10, verse 11, same book, John. Is one of the verses that the kids learned in Bible school this week. Christ says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Christ said that no man took his life. He gave it. He gave his life. No one forced him. He didn't have to do it again. But he gave it for us. Brethren, I've only showed you a few of the things out of the Bible that talk of what he did for us. If he's done all these things for us, what is it that we return it? It's not no great thing that he's asking of us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brethren, he doesn't want us to die for him. He wants us to live for him. It's a saying that you probably heard a lot of times, but it's so true. He wants us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, to give our lives now, what they are, what we have, give it to him. And let him do it with it. As what he pleases. Do what he pleases with us. And he says, be ye not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how are we supposed to do that? He said clear as day, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ.
Amen.
Be like-minded with Christ. Arm yourselves with this mind that what Christ went through, that's what you can expect. He did all these things for us. Why can't we do them for him? So is it a great thing that I pack my bags and go to Mexico? No. It's no greater than walking across the street and talking to my next door neighbor about the gospel. It's what you do with your life. Present it to God.
Amen.
If he wants to send you somewhere, go.
Amen.
Don't hold on. If he wants you to stay, stay. But do what he wants you to do, and not what everybody else wants you to do, and present yourselves to him.
Amen.
Not to the church, for example. not to who anyone else, but to Him. A living sacrifice, giving everything you have to Him, and letting Him do with what He wants. Brethren, it's no great thing. It's only what's expected. It's only our reasonable service, as it says here.
Amen.
Which is your reasonable service. With all that He's done for us, what can we complain about? You know, if He makes us go hungry a day or two, 40 days, I don't think He would, but if He did, we have no reason to complain. He did it. He put up with it. He didn't have to. We don't have the powers He did, so we have to. Why should we complain? He did it. And He was tempted in all the things that we're tempted with, He was tempted the same way. But He didn't cry about it. He didn't sin. We have no reason to complain or be disgruntled. He was rich. He became poor. If the Lord takes all your money, it's His to take.
Amen.
Why complain? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. He died for us, but He wants us to live for Him now. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Don't get discouraged, but be encouraged. He's probably not going to make you go hungry. He's probably not going to take all your money and make you become poor all of a sudden. I'm not saying He won't, but He probably won't. But He's promised one thing, that He'll never leave us.
Amen.
So if He takes all your money, you still have Him.
Amen.
He hasn't left you. He wants a living sacrifice. And brethren, that's what we need to do. Keep our eyes on Him. Present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Not a dead one, but a living one.
Amen.
And give the glory to Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Give that to Mike.